Welcome to Faith Fellowship Church, where Jesus is alive and well. Amen. We've been talking about faith for several weeks now. And this morning, one of the cousins of faith is hope. And so we're going to talk a little bit about hope. It's different than faith, but it goes with faith. And of course, our main text is 1 Corinthians 13:13, where Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "Now abides faith, hope, and charity," or love, "these three, but the greatest of these is love." And so we know that there are three things that transcend space and time. They will abide forever, and that is faith and hope and love. And of course, we've been talking about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible, say impossible, impossible to please God without faith. That's why we're preaching it, because you can cry, you can whine, you can get on your knees, you can lay prostrate, And God is not impressed unless you have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, the Bible says that everything that's not of faith is sin. I think we read that verse last week. And so, but we're going to talk about hope today. I'd like to tell you a little story about something that happened in 2006 without going into too much details. My wife of 25 years had a little midlife crisis, And long story short, our marriage ended and we closed the church. And I sold a lot of the things from the church, but I didn't sell this pulpit and I didn't sell the sound system. And when people asked me, I said, "Well, my faith is about that big, but I got hope." And you know, that's what hope is. Hope is that hanging on until faith can rise in your spirit. Amen. And so you understand that sometimes our faith can dwindle. Sometimes our faith can get very small. But hope holds on. I said hope holds on. Amen. All right, so a couple of verses here from Psalm 33:18. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." And so, you know, you may have not always done it right. You may have caused your own problems. But as Habakkuk said, "Lord, in wrath, remember mercy." And when you can hope in God's mercy, his mercy doesn't mean you deserve it, amen. It doesn't mean you've done it right and you think, "Well, I got myself into this. God would never help me." But his mercy will help you, and so there's hope in the mercies of God, amen. And so if whatever you're going through right now, the anointing's made my back feel better. I think I'll just preach all day if it's this good. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing, hope, in his mercy, amen, in his unmerited favor, whether you deserve it or not. And then this verse 39:7 I did from the Living Bible. "And so, Lord, my only hope is in you." And of course, your hope has to be in God. You know, you have to make sure your hope is in God. And some people think their hope is in God. They say, "Oh yeah, I'm trusting God." But they got that plan B over here, you know. And I think I told you about when a couple of years ago, the church was struggling financially. Our monthly budget was about $1,200, including rent and utilities. And I was at wit's end. I finally got to the point, which I had never done, and I've had some lean days, some dark days in the history of Faith Fellowship, but I never, ever got to the point where I was at, and I said, "Lord, if you don't do something by this fall, I'm closing the church." And I wouldn't have dared said anything to anybody because I thought, "Well, I'm a man of faith. I shouldn't be praying this," but that's where I was at. And then what I realized, it wasn't a prayer of defeat. It was a prayer of surrender. God loves prayers of surrender, doesn't he? Because you don't have a plan B anymore. You don't have a, "Well, if that don't work, I'll try this one." You know, you're at the very end and you can't do anything, but all you have is God. Your hope, only hope, is God. You got to perform a miracle, and he caught a building on fire. He caught a building on fire, and we moved from a $900 a month rent to a $400 a month rent, and now we got enough money, we're ready to give some of it away to the poor. Let's give God a hand clap right there. And so you can hope in God, amen? You can hope in God. You can hope in God. Now, I want to read you a story here. Let's see, it's called The Hope Experiment. What did I do with it? Okay, the hope experiment. So during a brutal study at Johns Hopkins University in the 1950s, Harvard graduate Dr. Kurt Reicher placed rats in a pool of water to test how long they could tread water. He sounds like one of those mean kids you hear about, doesn't it? On an average, they'd give up and sink after 15 minutes. But right before they gave up due to exhaustion, the researchers would pluck them up out of the water, dry them off, let them rest for a few minutes, and then put them back in the water for a second round. In the second try, how long do you think the rats lasted? Just throw a number out. 15 minutes, huh? Same 15? Anybody think they lasted longer, shorter? 20, 30, shorter, longer? All right. Remember, this is the second try. They'd already swam till failure, 15 minutes. So it wasn't 15, it wasn't 10, it wasn't 5. 40 hours. 40 hours. So that's not an error. That's right. 40 hours of swimming. And the conclusion drawn was that since the rats believed that they would eventually be rescued, think about it, they could push their bodies way past what they had previously thought possible. Man, that gives me goosebumps, don't you? So if hope can cause exhausted rats to swim that long, what could belief in yourself or in the God of the Bible do? And so we see how important hope is. It's that thing that pushes us past what we could never do in our own strength. We can hope in God. Praise God. Psalm 42, from the Living Bible. The psalmist says, "Take courage, my soul. Do you remember those times, but how could you ever forget them, when you led great processions to the temple on festival days, singing with joy, praising the Lord? Why then are you downcast? Why be discouraged and sad? Hope in God, I shall yet praise Him again. Yes, I shall again praise Him for His help." And so the psalmist is talking to his soul, his mind, his will, and emotions. And that's our biggest enemy, isn't it? Our emotions, our mind. We have all those thoughts. And he says, take courage, mind, will, and emotions. Remember back when everything was good. You went to church. You praised God. You had joy. You had happiness. You had peace. And now you're going through this. So why are you being downcast? Why are you discouraged? Why are you sad? Hope in God. Amen. And so we have a God we can hope in. We have a God that is bigger than our problems, our circumstances, our situation, our mind, our will, and our motion. And we can hope in God, and God can change our circumstance. Amen? He can change it. And so we have to speak to our mind, our will, and our motions. We have to take authority over those negative thoughts when we're down, when we're cast down, when we're discouraged. And we have to say, snap out of it. Put your hope in God. He's still on the throne. It's going to be all right. And so start talking to your mind, your will, and emotions. Praise the Lord. Now we talk about storms in lives, and of course there's a great story in the book of Acts of a storm. In Acts 27, and if you remember the story, the Apostle Paul is being taken to Rome, and he tells them, guys, you shouldn't go. But they didn't listen to him. And in 27:13 it says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete." Now, this is interesting because that south wind blowing was deceptive, wasn't it? We know how deceptive the serpent is, the snake, the devil. And oftentimes it's when everything seems calm and quiet that there's a storm looming. When you look at the Gospels and Jesus going up to the Mount of Transfiguration, as soon as they got off the mountaintop, there's a demon-possessed man waiting for them. So don't always assume just because everything seems good that tomorrow everything's going to be good. There's storms that are going to come. They're going to come out of the left field, and they're going to catch you off guard. But long after there arose again against it a tempest wind called Euclidean, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. Incidentally, historians have looked at this because this is one of the greatest references to nautical information as far back as 2,000 years. Anyway, that's just a footnote. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest it should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And if you ever watched any of these movies, Horatio Hornblower, right, Karen? some of those great old sea movies. You just see the mist of the rain and the wind and the ships, the sails caught by the wind, and everybody all hands on deck grabbing ropes. And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest. Let's just stop there. You know, we don't get to ride on giant wind sailing ships. I think it'd be fun. But we are exceedingly tossed with tempest sometimes, aren't we? Emotional, spiritual. And the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Now, you know, that's got to be scary, huh? I can't imagine what it'd be like on a giant storm out in the middle of the sea. But, you know, back then they didn't have GPS. You needed the stars and the sun to navigate. So as soon as those are gone, you have no idea where you're at. Am I facing north, south, east, west? You know, and sometimes our life feels that way. I don't know what direction I'm going to go next. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this storm in my life. And so they said that neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. And look at this. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They had no hope. They had no hope. This is a scary place to be. This is a place of shipwreck spiritually. And there are people who are shipwrecked spiritually today. They're out there in their homes and they're not in churches. They're out there living under bridges. They've lost wife and kids and family and all these things. They are spiritually shipwrecked. And without hope, you and I could be spiritually shipwrecked as well. We may have a little bit of faith, but we have to hold on to our hope in God. Amen. Praise God. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to," here we go, "be of good cheer." You don't know where you're at. The ship is being tossed to and fro. You don't have a clue where you're going. At any minute you could die. This could be the last day you live. Be of good cheer. Don't you love it when you got one of those spiritual guys that says that to you when you're not doing so good? You know, you're having a rough day and some guy comes up and says something, you want to punch him. I remember one time we were traveling from Omaha to Abilene when the Air Force transferred us to Abilene, Texas. And I was in my 1976 Gremlin. I no more than left Nebraska, and I noticed something on the back glass. And I rubbed my finger. It was oily. I rubbed my finger. I checked the oil. It wasn't oil. I was slinging transmission fluid out the back of my Gremlin. And so every town we'd come to, I'd say, "Give me a dollar's worth of gas and fill the transmission." And so this was getting very frustrating to me. And we get to Independence, Kansas, and I have the hood up. I'm putting transmission fluid, and I go to close the hood, and one of the hood hinges folds, and the whole hood goes, "Wong!" And some little grease monkey with a chew of tobacco that works there comes up to me and goes, "You having problems with your hood?" And I felt my fist tighten up. I wanted to punch him out. I didn't even say anything to him. I just gave him that look, and I think he could tell. And he got a crowbar, and we got the hood closed. And I told Deborah, "We're not stopping till we get to Tulsa. I don't care if I burn this thing up." I was so upset. So you have those days where somebody comes up to you and says, "Be of good cheer," and you want to punch them out because you don't know what kind of day I've had. You don't know what I've been to. You don't know what I'm going through. And you have the audacity to tell me to be of good cheer. But then he says, "But there's no loss of man's life among you, but the ship." You know, one of the greatest enemies of hope is the lie of the devil that you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. You've made it through this. You made it through this. But this is different. I can't go on. I feel hopeless. And Paul doesn't just say, "Be of good cheer." He tells them, "It's going to be all right. Yeah, I know you think you're going to die, but you're going to live. I know you think that the situation is hopeless, but it's going to be all right." And you know, the Lord is saying that to you this morning. Maybe your faith is so small and your hope is almost gone. I got good news. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. He says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." I love that. Don't you love that? It's not just I have a relationship with God. I'm His and He's mine. We are in a covenant relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whose I am and who I serve. Say that with me. Whose I am and who I serve. Well, if you're in a covenant relationship with God, how can you be hopeless? Amen. Because He's the God of all hope, isn't He? He's the God of all hope. Amen. And so He says, this night the angel of the Lord stood by me, whose I am and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, here's our homework. Find that verse. You know, we may not have an angel of the Lord just stand before us and say what we need to hear, but we've got the bedrock of God's Word that tells us what we need to hear. He said, I'm your friend that sticks close in the brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, He said that I'll supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Find that verse. Find that word from God. And then say to the enemy of your soul, say to the enemy of your hope, I believe God that it'll be just as this verse says, just as He said to me. Amen. And stand on the bedrock of God's Word. Praise God. I love this verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 49:14. Zion says, and you can put your name there. You can put Roger there. You can put your name there. The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. But then God answers, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, maybe, yet I will never forget you. God will never forget you. You can hope in that. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Maybe a mother somehow could forget her nursing child. It seems unlikely, doesn't it, that a mother would do that? But God says, but even if they did, I will never forget you. Jesus loves you this morning. And you can have hope in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, again out of the Living Bible. And now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problem. See, that's the problem with losing hope. You quit trusting God. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. You know, that's why trees can stand the storms of life, because their roots go down into the ground and they get the nourishment of the soil. And when we can tap in to everything that God has for us, then we can survive whatever comes. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all He has done. Hasn't He done a lot for us? You know, when you're hopeless, you only see the problem. But when your life overflows with joy and thanksgiving, you're remembering what He's done. I remember the time He bailed me out here. I remember the time He bailed me out there. I remember the time He bailed me out there. I think I've told this story before too. Mr. Mathematician here. I did my taxes years ago. The kids were little. We were struggling financially. And when I got done, it said I owed the IRS like $1,200. And I hadn't been tithing, but recently I finally got to a place. I said, Lord, I want to tithe. And I'd been tithing, and I was mad. I said, Lord, I've been tithing. I've been struggling financially, and now I got to pay these stupid tax people $1,200, and where are you at? I need your help, Lord. And I was just murmuring and complaining. And so I sent off one of those suck it up notes. You know, I can't pay you the full $1,200. I'll pay you $50 a month or something. And so a few weeks later, I get two letters from the IRS back. And I open the first one. It says, you know, we'll accept $100, not $50 a month on your amount you owe. And I'm still murmuring. I'm complaining, Lord, I've been tithing. You're supposed to take care of me. And I open the other one. It says, you made a mistake on your taxes. You only owe $23. Woo! But you know, yeah, well, don't clap, because my attitude was wrong. I'm supposed to be hoping in God before I get the letter. That's not faith, is it? When you clap when you get the letter. But you know, God is merciful, isn't He? And so we have to live our lives and let it overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all He's done. And we look back at those times in our life when maybe it looked despair, and we see God came through, as He did with the IRS of all people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to close with a story, and some of you guys have probably heard me tell the story of Pederoski. And I'm telling this story because we're talking about hope, and you know, we're on Facebook, and I don't know where you're at here in the congregation, but there may be somebody here or on Facebook that has lost hope. Maybe they're in a hopeless place and they don't feel like they can go on. So the story of Pederoski is about a woman who has a little boy who's learning to play the piano, Diane, and you know, he's doing the chopsticks or whatever, you know, and he's really not into it, and his mother, they're kind of well off, and his mother's wanting to inspire him, so she decides she'll take him to this great pianist, this concert pianist, Pederoski. And it's a very formal affair. The women are in pearls, the men are in tuxedos, and the grand piano is up on the stage, and she sees friends that she knows, and she's talking to them. She doesn't notice her little 8-year-old boy slips out, goes down the aisle, over to the side, goes up the stairs, walks up on the platform, until all of a sudden she hears people saying, "Whose kid is that? What's he doing up there?" And he's up there playing chopsticks on the grand piano in front of this giant crowd. And she's mortified. She doesn't know what to do. But Pederoski sees what's going on from the back, and he puts on his tuxedo coat and he walks out, and on each side of the boy he begins to play a symphony along with chopsticks, all the while whispering in the lad's ear, "Keep going. Don't stop. You're doing great. You're doing fine. Keep going. Don't quit. I'm proud of you. Don't stop." And they finish their symphony, and Pederoski and the boy take a bow to the applause of the audience. And your Pederoski, God the Father, the master pianist, is saying to you today, if you've lost hope, keep going. Don't stop. You're doing fine. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We know that there abides these three, faith and hope and love. We know that love is the greatest, and we know that faith is so important, but sometimes, Lord, we get caught between those two in a life that feels hopeless, a life where we don't see any way out, a life where we shed tears on our pillow and wonder, "Why, God, why?" But the Master is putting his arm around us today and whispering in our ear, "Don't quit. Keep going. You're doing fine." So I pray, Lord, for those here and those watching by Facebook, that you would take the heed of the Master, that you would dry your tears, that you'd reach down deep on the inside and find that hope in God that maybe has almost dissipated, and say, "If God can be for me, who can be against me?" We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right.